Well, welcome to Healing School here on another Thursday morning at High Point. I'm excited about what the Lord has for us today, and probably again next week, and we'll wrap up talking about rest. We fight, we stand, but we're learning we can do it all from rest. And as we were worshiping this morning, I was thinking about some of the things we'll be talking about, and it was like the Lord began to talk about how we can pray or intercede from a position of rest. And for me, I'll be honest, that has been a problem, particularly in some areas where I see things on television about our nation, and it troubles me. And how am I going to pray about that at rest? And I don't mean to hurt an audible voice, but standing over there this morning, I heard the Lord say, well, I pray for you. I intercede for you. And I'm at rest. And that just kind of rocked me. So I think there's some magnitude of impact on this rest that he's given us to share, that if we learn to walk in it, we're going to begin to see things happen that we've been looking for long periods of time. So let's pray, and then we'll jump into the Word today. Father, I thank you for your Word. I thank you that you've given us instruction that we might know your heart, your will toward us, and that we learn through your Word. And it builds faith in us, Lord, so that we can have confidence that what your will is for your people, that we can walk in it, we can receive it and participate in it. And not only receive it for ourselves, but we can pray for others and see it come to pass in their lives. So thank you for putting your Spirit in us, that we might know you, that we might be led by you, that we might be encouraged by you. Father, just as a coach puts a team in position to win, that's what you've done for us with Holy Spirit. Put him in us to give us an opportunity to be that overcomer that Jesus has made us. We give you praise and glory and honor, Jesus, and it's in your precious name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, I want to begin this morning by doing a little review. I guess I taught on August the 10th, and we were talking then about Jesus is my place of rest. And we've been anchored in really Hebrews 4:3 that says, for we who have believed enter that rest. It's not something that we have to stand outside on. It's not something that I have to follow somebody's coattail into. But we begin to ask a question, if I'm entering into it, how does that happen? And what we saw in Ephesians 2, the fourth verse, and I want to read 4 through 7 in this review. But God, and we kind of just stopped there last week and just focused on, but God, being rich in mercy, and then the next phrase, because of his great love with which he loves you. Or we could say me. Then verse 5. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. For grace, by grace we've been saved. And then it goes on and says, and we've been raised up with him, and he seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's where we are today. In him who has become our rest. And so if we are truly understand how much we are in him and he's at rest, then I think that encourages us that we can have that as well. We're going to talk a little bit today about spiritually that rest versus some of the physical things we may think about. The reason we can rest is because he's rested. Because the work of salvation for you and I is what? It is complete. And so there's nothing else we can do to work to own it. Now, we looked last week in Luke 4, and I just want to look at the 19th, 20th, and 21st verse. And this is where Jesus is talking there in his hometown. And he talks about the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and then lists a number of things. But he ends up by saying, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, what is that acceptable year of the Lord? That's the year of Jubilee, which was a year of, for the land, of 3 years of rest. The Lord provided enough for them to plant and have enough for the next 3 years. In that third year, they planted again. So the land rested. But since Jesus is our rest, then it is not a period of time for us. Our rest is a person. Our Jubilee is a person. And what else happened during that Jubilee year? People's land, if they had had to sell it or they sold it, it was restored to them. Slaves who had indentured themselves were set free, and I use those words intentionally, and their freedom was restored. And so for us, it's not just about being enslaved and set free, but everything that Jesus purchased for us that the devil has tried to steal from us. In this rest, in this Jubilee, in Jesus, all that is available to us once again. Verse 20, he closed the book after he'd said those things. And I'm one that likes to just, as I meditate sometimes, I just take a scripture and say, all right, what did that look like from your eyes as you looked out over the people in the synagogue? And it says, after he sat down, all the eyes of those who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. I can guarantee you one thing. Their eyes were fixed on him, but they weren't smiling. And have you ever had a situation where you've stood in front of people and you maybe delivered news that nobody wanted to hear, and you could just feel the darts coming from the eyes? I think that's what he saw. In verse 21, and he began to say to them then, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. So what did he say that made him so mad? Well, he basically said, I'm Messiah. I'm here. He sat down in the chair reserved for Messiah. And they just went crazy. They could not understand that. But all that we get is from these scriptures being fulfilled for you and I today by his death, his resurrection. And in doing so, we get a place of rest in him. Again, our rest has nothing to do with a period of time, with a day, or with even a year, or a back-to-back year. It is a continual place where we can stay in rest. Hebrews 4, verses 9 and 10, I'm not going to put up on screen. I just want to read part of 10, well, 9 too. It says, there remains a rest for the people of God. Now, that's important to me, because there are times where I know I have gotten out of that place of rest. But even though I've gotten out of it, or maybe we haven't entered into it yet, it is still available. That is the promise that we have. The next verse goes on to say, for he who has entered that rest has also ceased from his works as God did from his. Again, because it's finished. But I want you to begin to see this rest coming with what I call the in him realities that Scripture gives us. The realities of who we are in made righteous, placed with him. In all these in him realities is that rest. Now let's begin to transition to what I want to talk about today. We closed 2 weeks ago. Look at this verse, Isaiah 32, verse 17 and 18. And we're going to come right back to it about 4 or 5 from now to talk more about it. It says, the work of righteousness will be peace. So we're going to be talking about peace today. What is that work of righteousness? It's you receiving the righteousness of Jesus as he was made sin for your and my sin. Righteousness, simply, the way I like to look at it is, being made righteous in the sight of God is I'm being in right standing with him. I was with some friends these three previous days from high school, some old high school teammates. I say old because they're my age. And we've known each other for 55, 57 years now. All are saved. Many are spirit-filled. And it was like, after we got together, we'd never been apart. We used to use the phrase, well, you and I are tight. And that's kind of the way I view this righteousness. You've been placed in Jesus. You and he, to use the slang that we used to say, we're tight. But then it goes on to say, the service, or the effect might be a better word, the impact that righteousness has is quietness and confidence forever. Now, we looked two teaching times ago at a number of words in the Hebrew language for rest. And if you remember, quietness and confidence was two of those words really meant the same thing. And so that to me says then, the effect of righteousness, thus the effect of peace, is what? Is rest. 18 goes on to say, and it reinforces it, then, after being made righteous, my people will live in a peaceful habitation. So there's the peace part coming in it. And again, peace for me does not mean absence of war. It means no matter what's going on around me, I'm at peace with my Father, and therefore that supersedes everything that's going on around me. And then it goes on and says, and in secure dwellings and in undisturbed resting places. That's where we are to dwell. So with that then, let's jump into today. And I want to begin to talk about peace, rest, and restoration. But I want to set a framework for this. So look at John, the 3rd chapter, verses 5 and 6 with me. We'll have this on the screen. Jesus is talking and he says, truly I say to you, talking to Nicodemus, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, and that's the part I want to emphasize, the flesh part and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So this is something that is reserved for men, not for angels. You are a higher creation than the angels. It goes on and says, for that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. So I want you to begin to think today, as we talk about peace, as we talk about rest, let's begin to focus first on your and my spirit. Because that part, I believe, is the first part that must be. Now again, we'll talk about the physical part. But as we look at Old Testament scriptures, also remember he dealt with them in the physical. And we're to see that as a type of spiritual relationship that we have for the Father. John 6:63 continues that thought. And it says, it is the Spirit who gives life. I could just pause there and talk about a number of things. The Spirit is the one who gives life. Think about Adam's creation. The Lord did what? He breathed Ruach, the Holy Spirit, into him, and life came into him. He is still a life-giving spirit. And I like to think of this verse, that life, as the Zoe life. And what does the God kind of life look like? We talked about it a couple of weeks ago. It is that life that God has. Do you see God up there saying, oh my gosh, what am I going to do with all these crazy people on earth now? No, he's at peace. He's not concerned. He's resting because his works are complete and the works that he sent Jesus for have been complete. He then says, the flesh profits me nothing. Now, when I meditated that, and this is the way my mind works, okay, Lord, then I just kind of want to ignore the flesh. And he said, no, you don't let the flesh control you. You know, we're teaching in another venue about being led by the Spirit. And Scripture tells us that if we let our flesh lead us, we're in for a rough ride. So we never want to let our flesh lead us, and that includes our soul. yet we don't want to act like we don't have a good brain and good common sense. He goes on and says, the words that I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life. So when we focus on this, then, I want you to see that that spirit gives life, the Holy Spirit gives life to my spirit that was remade. And so I too then have that God kind of life, that Zoe, full of rest and peace. And that's what I want to really show you today, some verses that will build your confidence that this rest and peace resides in your spirit, man, ready for you to draw upon it. Let's go to Exodus 33rd chapter. We're going to start in verse 14. Now, in this account, the temple, the Ark of the Covenant, has been moved outside of the camp because they sinned. It was right square in the middle of it, and the Lord moved outside of it. Moses and Joshua have just been in there, the tent together. Moses leaves, Joshua stays. That says something to me. He didn't leave when Moses did. He stayed there because he knew there was something special about being and staying in that presence. And then Moses begins to talk about to the Lord about your people. And the Lord comes back to him and talks about, no, your people. And this verse ends up beginning to say, after Moses tells him that he wants some sign from him, he says, my presence shall go with you. Now, I'm just going to be honest with you. Most of the time, that's what I read, and that's my focus of this verse. And that is great. I do that because partly, I think, 15, Moses comes back and says, go there, Judy. If your presence doesn't go with us, don't lead me up from here. In other words, what? If you don't go, I ain't moving. So go back to 14. And I think that's the reason I focus on it. And I miss this phrase. And this is the one the Lord really amplified for me. My presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. We get rest because the very presence of God dwells now within us. This is so big. We saw verse 15, so let's go on to 16. Moses then says, for how can it be known that I found favor, or we received grace in your sight, I and your people? Is it not by you going with us? Now, that's a revelation we need to get now. That when we see Jesus with us all the time, we don't have to begin to pray, okay, Lord, I'm going on a trip down to Florida, and I want you to go with me today. Duh, he's there. He is with us. But when we pray that way, we're losing the sight of us being positioned in Christ Jesus. And then it says, is it not by your going with us, so that I and your people may be distinguished from all the other people upon the face of the earth? In other words, you and I, as believers, are different from everybody else on the earth because we are believers. And can I just encourage you, and I promise I won't teach on it today, tempted. The world ought to see that difference in everything we do, in every portion of our being, including what we're talking about today with peace and rest. His presence, his very spirit, gives us rest. And that relationship with the spirit, we saw in Isaiah 32, 17 and 18, also gives us that peace. And so I don't want you to begin to think of rest and peace as two widely different things. The Bible's not complicated. They go hand in glove together. Now this is the Lord's will for us. So if we go back to Isaiah 32, 17 and 18. I just want to read it with that context. The work of righteousness, being made right standing with Jesus, is peace. And the effect or the result of that righteousness, which is peace, gives us quiet and confidence forever. And then in 18, he told us that that's how we are to live, in a habitation of rest. And I think we can do it. We can learn to do it in him at all times. Is this really God's will? Isaiah 30, verse 15. Now this one just gets to the heart of it. For thus the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, has said, in repentance, so as we repent, and rest, so with repentance, what comes? Rest. You will be saved. So it comes in with our salvation. And then as we've got that same phrase we looked at earlier, in quietness and trust, or I think earlier it said confidence. So the attributes of rest will become your strength. Oh my, that's a big one. That attributes of rest will become your strength. Now you say, well, wait a minute, the joy of the Lord is our strength. When you are at rest, you're going to experience joy as you've never experienced it before, because you see where you are seated in him. But look what it said about the children of Israel, and let this never be said of us, but you were not willing. That tells me it's a choice of whether I'm going to walk in this rest or not. It's a decision I want to make. That rest remains, will I step into it? And it's true today. Now I want to use 1 Corinthians 13:33 to carry this thought into the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 13:33. Oh, I wrote down the wrong scripture then. 30:15. We just read. Well, let me just read you what I wrote, and I'll find the scripture later. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. So this tells me any confusion, I can know that it's not of God. Now you're saying, what does confusion have to do with rest? Well, what happens when we are confused? Worry, we don't know which way to go. Doubt, wavering comes in. And fear can come in. Now, I want to say this. I think a lot of times we get in fear when we begin to worry that our prayers are not being answered. Now think about that in your own life. You start out good, doesn't happen real quick. We get a little anxiety. What am I doing wrong? How am I not praying right? And all of a sudden, we just get concerned that, God, you're not hearing my prayers and not answering me. That's an absence of rest. When God is manifesting his spirit, peace and rest will be with you. And in that peace and rest, I would submit to you that healing is there, because that's where his power flows from. Now, again, we're talking about the spirit first. We said last time we taught that fear is not in my place of rest. Well, if fear is not in there, what is in my place of rest? What does Timothy tells us? That we have been given a spirit of power and of love and of a sound, or a saved, is really what that means, mind. So that is the sense that we should have when we are at rest. That my mind is stable because it's fixed on the Lord. He loves me. I'm been made righteous. I'm sitting in Christ Jesus in heavenly places at his right hand in that seat of authority. He's interceding for me at rest. Therefore, his prayer is going to get answered when I receive them, and I can be at rest. But also what? That's where the power flows. And we said in the very first week, how many of you have ever experienced the anointing come on you, the presence be so strong that you never wanted to leave. You were even afraid to move. It's a place where you want to stay. And again, I know I'm being redundant. When we are at peace, we can stay in rest. Now, rest, I believe, has a restorative element to it. I mean, just think about the word rest and restoration. It's part of Jubilee that we saw. It's freedom from everything that Christ purchased for you. In other words, and we'll see this next week, in this rest is freedom from all the curses of the law that are written. But because the blessings come with us. Let me just read you the definition of restore. To bring back into existence, to put back in an original state, and to put again one in possession of something. But how are people today, even church people, wired and tired? And if you're in that state, you're not at rest. Now, I'm talking to myself. And I do so, I teach this with fear and trembling because of what the Scripture says about those who teach things and how we're to live them. Too much of being wired and tired, touchy and anxious, and whatever other adjectives you want to put in there that you can see when you're the way we react when we are physically tired, will make you physically sick. Your body is not made to be and to operate in that manner. No rest, no sleep. How many of you, you don't have to put your hands up, I'll put mine up. How many of you have been like me at some point and you get ready to go to bed and you just feel like, I can't shut my mind down? Now, sometimes for me, I find myself doing that after I read good books, like reading Smith Wigglesworth's devotions at night. It gets me so fired up that I can't just relax. But most of the time, that wired comes from what? From the anxiety, from those things that we talked about earlier. Let me just remind you, Proverbs 3:24, when you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. What is he saying there? That I expect you to be in a position where I can give you sweet sleep. We see it similar in Psalm 127, verse 2. And pay attention to these first words. The last one I'm going to relate, the last phrase is, for he gives to his beloved even in his sleep. But the first of that verse says, it is vain for you to rise up early, to retire late. Now, what does that sound like? I'm either trying to work to get it, or I can't rest because of that wired and tired going on in me. It says it's also vain to eat the bread of painful labors. In other words, you're working so hard trying to make it yourself. Now, a lot of times, this word labor is the same word in the Hebrew as sorrows. And so you see that there is a relationship how labor, hard labor that we're doing in vain will create sorrow for us. Real rest brings restoration, and the Lord wants us to remain in what? Perfect peace. So let's look at Isaiah 26:3 and see how we keep that perfect peace. You will keep, this is New King James, in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. Now don't stop reading that verse there, because we have a role in it, because he trusts in you. That's that quietness and that trust that keeps us in that rest. The New American Standard says, the steadfast of mind. Now, I like that because it's a mind fixed, grounded on something that keeps us what? In that perfect peace because we can trust in them. Can I say to you that until we learn to be at peace in our spirit, you're going to have a very difficult time being at peace in your flesh, and that includes your soul as well. Everything we get good from God, we receive how? Through our spirit, by believing and by receiving, we have it before we see it. And remember now, this quietness and trust in that resting place. Let's talk about restoration and just the mindset. Don't just think of physical illness, although physical illness can play into it. But I want to look at three scriptures and see it from a spiritual standpoint as well as a physical. John 11, the 11th and 12th verse. Jesus has been told that his friend Lazarus is dead. But he, in talking to his disciples, says to them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go so that I may awaken him out of his sleep." Now, look at the reaction that his disciples have. Okay, 12. They respond to him, "Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he will," it doesn't say wake up, does it? "He will recover." So even in their day, they saw a connection between illness and rest and recovery. Now, this is where I think the Lord can really give you understanding, where he shows you a verse that maybe is not the way you've ever looked at it before, but you see the relationships in it. How about Jesus saying to his disciples in Mark 6:31, "Come away yourselves to a secluded place and rest for a while." For there were many people coming and going. They did not even have time to eat. So what is that intimating to us? They were so busy doing things that they probably lost their peace. I'll bet you that was one of the times they were still talking about who's the greater of us in the discussions they had, like after the man with the son that they couldn't cast the demon out of. And let's also don't forget what Jesus said in Matthew 11:28. "Come to me, not run from me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, borne down." And what happens to our bodies when we get that way? When we carry care for a lot of times, it will impact us physically. And he says, "I will give you rest." I want you to look at Psalm 119, verse 165. And we'll begin to wrap this up. "Those who love your law." Now let's just stop there. What is that talking about? The law was the word of the Lord, the commands. So we would say those who love the word of God have great peace. Now if you say, "I just have a hard time getting into the word," quit saying it, first of all, and confess that I can understand the word. And I can read it, and the Spirit will give me revelation. But we need to love the Word, because how you see the Word of God, the respect and honor that you have for it, is really a direct relationship, has a direct relationship to how you love and see Jesus as a person. So those who love the Word of God have great peace, and no thing will cause us to stumble. So there is our part of getting in the Word and understanding it. Luke 10:5-6, talking about the disciples when he sent them out, talking to them. And he tells them, "Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace be to this house.'" Then he goes on and tells them, "If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him." And then he says, "If not, it will return to you." Now the point I want to make about this is his peace And thus his rest, as we've seen today, is a tangible substance. It is something that can come and go if we allow it to. Peace is not a state of mind. Peace is that knowing, and it's substantive, that you've been founded solid in Jesus, sitting with him in those heavenly places at rest. To rest in God, the first thing we've got to do is to know that we're at peace with God. And that's why I believe the Lord took us through some of these scriptures that we've known about right relationship and being made righteous. I like the phrase that I've heard for years, make peace with the God of peace and you will have the peace of God. We cannot be sitting just arguing with God. Yes, we can be honest with him, but we must reach that point where we have such reverential awe for him that peace just flows upon us because we understand and know his goodness. I also want to say you've got to be at peace in your own spirit before you can enter into rest and stay there. Too many of us don't love ourselves. And Scripture talks about loving others as we what? Love ourselves. I have encountered some Christians who think so little of themselves, who have no love themselves for themselves, I wouldn't want them to love me that way. But knowing that we are in him, those in him realities, puts us in a position to what? To just soak in that love. And that will change our attitude. Now, again, if you have a hard time with this, where I encourage you to go back is quit focusing on, do I love God enough? But go and focus on how much he loves you. Because as you look at that, you're going to be changed and you're going to see more clearly how you can be in him. That's not something we can conjure up in our mind. You have been made worthy to sit with him in heavenly places. Don't view yourself as unworthy. Don't just say, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. You were a sinner. You've been saved by grace. Your spirit man has no sin associated with it. And we must begin to see ourselves there. Because if we don't, where does that lead us to? Condemnation. You're not good enough. You're not fit for use. You're not fit to be inhabited would be what a condemned house is. Well, that's just the opposite of what God says about you. He has placed himself to abide in you and I. He doesn't see us as condemned. He sees us as a dwelling place worthy of his own very spirit. And to me, that's the epitome of grace. We can talk about it, all definitions of grace, but to me it's capped by the fact that he's put his very own Holy Spirit in its fullness in me and in you. Now, obviously, we're not to see ourselves more highly, think of ourselves more highly than we ought to, it says. But we do need to see ourselves as what? Being distinguished from all the rest of the world, as we saw in Exodus 33rd chapter earlier. The third thing is, when you're at peace with God, when you're at peace with yourself, then you can begin to be at peace with other people. And what does Scripture say? As much as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. So that says to me, there is a lot. Too many of us have a dogged determination to just be one who corrects everyone. The Holy Spirit will do that to believers if you will allow the Spirit and show them love to do that. I believe that's one of the biggest reasons, because we're constantly judging, that we're not at peace with other people like we need to be. And when there is enmity between people, that is also a great opportunity for sickness to come in and to try to dwell in your body. I want to conclude with this one, Acts 2, 25 and 26. This is David quoting one of the Psalms, or Paul quoting one of the Psalms, where David says of the Lord, I saw the Lord always in my presence, for he is at my right hand, so that I will not be shaken. Now I read that and I can say, okay, if I'm in a position where I'm not shaken, then I'm what? I'm at peace. I'm at that perfect peace. I'm at rest. Verse 26. Therefore, my heart was glad and my tongue exulted. Moreover, my flesh will also live in hope. When we take this verse and walk in the verse 25 part of it in our spirit, man, it will begin to transform our flesh. It will begin to let that love, that power, restore things that the devil has stolen from us. Now, I'm led to do one more session on peace, and the next week we will talk about the blessing and curses. But we'll also see that God wants us, as we're in peace, as we're at rest, to enjoy this life. This life is not about just getting through it with grit and determination and, okay, this is not about becoming a self-made man. It is being put in a position to enjoy every promise that the Lord has given you. And part of that enjoyment will come while we're doing His works. Not our works, doing it from rest and peace. So as we close today, again, we'll be happy to pray, but my focus today for you is really see yourself in your spirit that it's at peace, that you've been made worthy to stand face to face with Jesus, that He has sent the Holy Spirit to dwell in you and I. And as you meditate on that, begin to sense that love. And as that love flows and our faith begins to work by that love, just sense the power of healing to be flowing through your spirit into your body. And we'll be happy to pray for everyone, but today I really want you to be able to look inward and see that spirit man full of the fullness of God, and have that confidence and quiet trust that you can rest in it. Not fretting, not wired and tired, but at peace, in rest, in our Christ Jesus. Father, I thank you today for your word. I thank you that you've encouraged us to step it up in our oneness with you, in that in Him reality that you've placed us in with Jesus, so that we can begin to see your Zoe life flowing out of our spirit to just consume our soul and overcome any attacks that have come against our flesh. Thank you that as we do that, your healing power, your love will be released. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. As I was praying, the Lord just brought to mind the woman with the issue of blood. What did Jesus tell her? To arise. She was healed. And to do what? Go in peace. That's the way I want you to leave today. Just with that vision of her as I'm walking out of here today, seeing myself at peace, healed, and that will lead to great, great rejoicing, as we saw in the Word. Bless you. I've enjoyed being with you this morning, and I trust it ministered to you, and we'll see you again next Thursday. Have a great week.